A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to your weekly dose of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's guest episode, it is indeed a repost pulled from the vault. For those of you who have been longtime listeners, you probably have heard this episode before. It is with Shirley Laywood Oakes, who is the partner and CEO of Mezcal Campante, which is a lovely mezcal. For those of you who don't know, I actually quite love mezcal and typically drink, if I'm going to drink, between vodka or mezcal. And so I actually have a bottle of Mezcal Campante here on my kitchen counter. This episode originally released about 2 years ago. And so one of the reasons I've always mentioned this every time I do a reposted episode, but I find that a lot of you guys actually gain value from these reposted episodes, whether it's because you actually never heard it the first time, which is quite common, or it's just like you needed to hear this messaging again. And especially if you only heard it once back in 2022, then there's probably a lot of things that you don't fully remember. And this happens to me all the time. So I'm always thinking in the seat of, what do I like as a podcast listener? And quite honestly, I do really love when people release old episodes that, especially your interviews, that are super valuable and give a lot of insight into life and business and whatever that is still applicable today. And so that is one of the reasons why I'm re-releasing this episode, Pulled from the Vault, 2 years ago. Shirley shared so much wisdom on love, relationships, career building. And I just love the way she speaks about everything, the way she holds herself. And as always, I am trying to have more women like Shirley on the podcast who can touch on a little bit of everything in life, because I see women as holistic, multidimensional human beings. Some of us want to be able to dip our toes in a little bit of everything. And I really think Shirley embodies that. And so whether it's your first time listening to this conversation or you have heard this 2 years ago, I encourage you to listen to it. And I know you will find definitely a lot of value in this conversation. So with that being said, let's dive into it.
Alrighty. Well, Shirley, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited to get into your whole story. I read about a little bit on your background as you trained to be a professional ballerina. Is that right?
I did. That was, feels like a very long time ago, but it was a huge part of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
It's similar
to me. From like 10. Oh, 10 years old.
Yeah. I was a former competitive figure skater. So
I've seen your amazing videos on your Instagram. They're incredible.
Thank you. How do you think, because I always feel like for me, when I look back into how my athletic training parlayed over into what I do today, how do you feel? And obviously it's been many years, but like looking back, how has that discipline transitioned into what you do now and from like the initial career journey for you?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think about that quite a lot because, you know, as you experienced in your mm-hmm. training, it's not only physically demanding, it's also mentally and emotionally very demanding. And it teaches you so much about discipline and pushing yourself and really, you know, being able to conquer so much mm-hmm. at such a young age, especially, that I think sometimes when you're that young doing whether it be dance or competitive, you know, skating, you actually don't really know what you're doing. Now that I look back, I'm like, wow, what I put myself through was incredible, what I accomplished. Mm-hmm. But I think what's really important from something like that is it did teach me a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. It also taught me a lot about discipline. I have no problem of committing, like putting myself into something and committing and going through the different stages and understanding that I have to like learn and practice and continue to like build on something. So mm-hmm. I think that's definitely come from those dancing years. I think it's the discipline that I've really taken from that. And I will be extremely disciplined in the work that I'm doing. So that's something I took from it, for sure.
Can you share the journey afterwards? So I'm sure that was like a big part of your childhood. How about like transitioning into, you know, whether you went to school or like, you know, in your 20s as you were developing into your career? What was that journey like?
Yeah, so that was an interesting transition. I mean, from 5 years old, I thought I was going to be a classical ballet dancer. I was so committed. I was so set. Dance was like my whole world. Dance and theater and all of that, but really classical ballet and very much contemporary. I adored contemporary dance. And I was so set on mm-hmm. that being my career. And then things that we don't need to go into, but like I had to make a shift. I had to change. Yeah. And I remember my parents were really good with this because they were a bit like, okay, don't worry. You're going to make a shift. That's totally fine. Mm-hmm. You can change direction. And this is what this looks like. You go to university, get more academics, get more of your studying done, which was great. And just gave me a bit of a base. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to make this transition much easier because I felt like I had a bit of structure around me. Mm-hmm. But it was very much a case of being like, it's okay to change lanes. Mm-hmm. And that was something that took me a while to accept. You know, you're so set on something.
Yeah.
And you think, especially when you're younger, you think that because you've said you were going to do that, that that's what you've got to do. And so making those changes was hard, but accepting that it's okay to change direction, that it's okay to change and develop and become, you know, you're always growing. So, you know, I went off to university. I studied English and theater studies and film studies. And so I stayed in that creative world, which was great. And then I was able to just make that transition a little easier. And then from there, I went into marketing. And so that's, you know, that's quite a step from classical ballet to then into like more English, you know, major in theater and stuff to then going into marketing.
Yeah,
that's kind of three careers in themselves.
And I like that you mentioned as well that it's important to be able to accept that you need to shift and adopt into something new if some, you know, if a certain chapter is kind of closing, right? Yeah. Or clearly shows like this isn't going to work. What was like, you know, do you have any advice around that? Because that can be a big struggle for people, even when it's like simply from transitioning from college, university to going into a full-time job. And, you know, you could remember a little bit of what it was like in your early mid-20s of like, what am I doing with my life, right? Like that is a common question a lot of girls will message on Instagram to me about. They're like, you know, all these different things. It's like the dating life, the social life, the finances, the is this job fulfilling to me question, right? Like, how did you find that transition for you and maybe some tips around what helped you evolve in that process?
Yeah, it's where to start. You know, there's so much there. But I think, you know, that transition, especially from university going into the workforce, first thing is do not worry if everyone else around you seems to have like got an internship or got a job or they seem to have their path, like, you know, it's mapped out in front of them and they know what they're doing and you don't know, that's completely okay. Mm-hmm. And I actually think it's sometimes better to not always know quite what you want, but to try a few things.
Yeah.
I do think it's important to get out there and test some things. So especially in, you know, during your years at university, if you have the opportunity to take some internships and stuff during the summer, do it. And try a bunch of different internships because you're going to learn so much, not only about the potential industry that you're going into, but what that work environment looks like and, you know, what those other people are like. That's going to just teach you so much, not only about that sector or that company, but it's going to teach you so much about yourself. And so that gives you a little bit of a head start before you get out of university. And then when you get out of university, take your time. You know, there's no rush. I think everyone's very quick to, you know, be like, I got to get a job and I got to get out there and I'm going to get set in my way and this is what I'm going to do. You don't need to do that. You can take your time, apply for lots of different things. The one thing that I do think is really important, get out and go to as many interviews as possible. Okay. What you learn in an interview with somebody is so important. You learn how to, first of all, get over your own nerves. You learn what to say to other people. You learn how to engage. You know, they're going to ask you so many different questions, and that's really important. And the more you can just, the more questions that you get asked, the more you're going to be able to understand what you want.
Right.
Those questions that people ask in interviews, whether it be, you know, like, what are you looking for in a job? Or where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Or what is it that you're expecting from the work environment? Those are going to plant little seeds that get you thinking. And by answering those questions, you're able to start to determine inside what you really want. So I do think getting out there and going to lots of interviews is key. Meet as many people as you can. And don't be afraid to ask for someone's advice or input or for them to tell you about their experience. So, you know, if you're thinking of, I don't know, wanting to be do podcasts, you know, grab someone that has maybe done it before or reach out to someone. You know, I'm sure a lot of people do this for you. They reach out to you and like, how did you get started? Stuff like that. Don't be afraid to ask questions and ask someone what their experience has been and what their advice would be. People love giving advice and they love talking about themselves and talking about what they've achieved or, you know. And I just think the more you can absorb, the more you can hear and listen and experience, the better. You don't have to have it all figured out. No one has it all figured out. You know, you see people's careers and you look back and you always hear that they achieved this. But my God, has there been a lot of failure along the way? My God, has there been so many changes in what they wanted to do? And that's okay. You just got to be open to that and be willing to like move forward.
I want to dive into what I guess would be, correct me if I'm wrong, like the beginning of kind of your founder experience, which is with Wicker Woods Agency. Is that right?
Yes.
What was that process like in with, like, did you have entrepreneurship experience prior or like what was kind of the catalyst in getting started in this agency? And then, of course, we'll talk about how you transitioned into what you do now. But I think it's really fascinating that you started in this industry and I think looking back to kind of from your story, it sounds like there are a lot of moving pieces that really do add up to how you were skilled in, you know, branding and so forth. But I would love to kind of hear from your end.
Yeah. So, I mean, before I started an agency with a partner, I'd had a number of years in the industry working for various brands. So I'd always been in-house, always in the luxury and premium space. It didn't matter, though, whether I'd been with hotels and I had been with luxury brands. So I'd had a lot of experience in within those departments and within those companies. So it definitely, I felt like I... You know, I'd had the experience to know what I knew. And I had a desire to go out there and do my own thing and take all this experience and, you know, really be able to deliver for clients. So I would go from being in-house, as we speak in marketing, to then being like, you know, being able to support those clients and being much more service and agency led. So I was very lucky, you know, this all came about at the same time that somebody I knew I had been I had worked with in the industry before was also looking at doing the same thing. And I have to say, I do think partnerships are, I think they're great. They are challenging. Any partnership is challenging. But I do think if you're going into something, it is great to have a partner or a few partners that you can really work well with and you've identified that you have different strengths. That's really important. Where you are strong, maybe they are weak, and where they are strong, you're weak. That's really important to identify. And then, you know, that communication within the partnership is really key. But that's not just a partnership in work. That's a partnership in friendships and your romantic partnerships. Communication is the most important thing. But I do think it's good to do it with a partner or partners. It does help. Being an entrepreneur can be quite lonely, and there is so much to do when you're building a company, whether that be a brand or an agency, whatever it may be. There's a lot to do, and you have to wear a lot of hats, and that's not always the easiest. But I do think there's great benefits in being an entrepreneur, but there's also great benefits in not being an entrepreneur and working within a company. It's not for everybody. It isn't easy. You know, if you are really good at something, if you are, I used to say this quite a lot, and, you know, I would never want to try and tell somebody not to go out and do their thing and be an entrepreneur, because I do think it's a fantastic world. And if you have it inside you, you know, whether you do it for the whole of your career or you just try it once, it is an incredible thing being an entrepreneur, but it isn't easy. And if you are really good at what you do and you, you know, go work for a great company. Do your job. Close your laptop at the end of the day. Don't have the worries of like running a company. Take whatever holiday they give you and enjoy it. And, you know, focus on what you love to do. Because being an entrepreneur and starting a company or a brand or an agency or whatever it may be, about 80% of your job is doing a lot of stuff that you don't like. And there's only about 20%, which is doing what you really love or what you're really passionate about. Unless you can find the balance in that. And sometimes it's easier for certain entrepreneurs to be like, no, I'm just going to focus on what I love. And then I'll just hire the other people to do the stuff I don't. But especially with running an agency or a company, when you are at the top, you have to deal with the difficult stuff. You have to deal with things that aren't so easy, or maybe not what you want to do, or you don't want to have to focus on the accounts or the cash flow, or you don't have to deal, don't want to deal with the lawyers or writing the contracts or stuff like that. It is very important that you know how to do it. It essential. But sometimes you get pulled away from the stuff that you really love. But so I went on and started a an agency with a partner, and we ran that for a number of years, mostly based in the UK and Europe, working on luxury and premium brands. That taught me so much, not only about you know, marketing brands and what goes into building a brand, mostly on the communication side and stuff, but we had the opportunity to do to work with other founders and entrepreneurs who were starting things up and be really part of that journey of building something. So that really excited me, and I very much loved that element of my work, which then took me on to what I do today. But I also learned a lot about running a team. I learned a lot about management of clients, management of other people, of, you know, highs and lows, how you get through difficult times running a company. I learned a lot about partnerships, and also what that, you know, when you're, when you run a company for that many years, you know, you also have life going on in the background and things happen and things change. And, you know, where you were, you know, at the beginning, you know, 6, 7, 8 years on, you're a very different person and things, you know, you have to adapt to that and manage that. And it's a journey, but it's definitely something I would recommend if someone wants to really, but just be ready for some serious highs and some serious lows. But it's great.
What was the biggest takeaway you had from that company experience, whether it was having a partner or leading a team for the first time in that facet? Like, what did you take anything of that into what you do now as well? Or just maybe general advice as well for entrepreneurs who are right now maybe experiencing, okay, I have to start to hire, or, you know, maybe the difficulties of having a partner, right? It is just like any relationship. It's communication. It's understanding how to not step on one another's toes, building trust, things like that. Any top tips you have from that experience that you could think of?
Yeah, a lot. a lot. So, well, first of all, communication is key. And as hard as those conversations might be, whether that's with your partner or with your senior team or with even, you know, the juniors, communication is key. And especially when you're running a team, sitting down with your with a team member who maybe is struggling and trying to understand where those struggles are coming from or mm-hmm. Where there's been a change in attitude or there's mm-hmm. been a, you know, deliverables, timelines haven't been hit or something like that. Just sitting down being like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. How can I help? I'm here trying to be as open as possible. So that goes really down to communication and really yeah. listening to those people around you. I think the second thing that I definitely learned, I learned a lot about myself. And actually, I think this goes back to training as a dancer. Uh-huh. I can be a perfectionist. I am very particular.
Yeah.
And I expect not good, I expect excellent mm-hmm. from myself.
Yeah.
And often I could be way too demanding on myself and also too demanding on the people around me.
Okay.
And I used to always say, you know, and I still think this is true, you're as good as the last thing you did, the last piece of work you put out, the last press release, the last project you mm-hmm. did. You're as good as that. So make sure that was the best thing you did. But I also learned that, you know, not everyone works at the same pace.
Right.
And not everyone gets to the goal in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But all that matters is that the goal was achieved. Okay. Whether you, you know, like they say, whether you went over the mountain, around the mountain, through the mountain, as long as you got to the other side. And everyone works in different ways.
Yeah.
And that is something that is really important to understand. But also make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that do work in a similar manner, mm-hmm. but that it's complementary, yeah. that everyone can work together, but that you do understand that not everyone, you can't push people. And I think that came mm-hmm. from, and I'm sure you found this in your training as mm-hmm. well, because competitive skating is very similar to dance, that you're pushed by your teacher or your trainer or your mm-hmm, coach. Mm-hmm. They want the best out of you.
Yeah.
And that's, it can be the same in the work environment, but it's sometimes got to be done in a little bit more of a sensitive way than I think how we were potentially shouted at in our training and stuff
agree.
Like that.
I'm curious, a little bit as a tangent, but was that ever something that you noticed also in relationships outside of the workforce where you also, because you wanted the best for maybe it's like your partner or friends, that you had that kind of drive to want to, you know, tell them almost like in that coach-like way? And if you did you find ways to kind of navigate those conversations better that wasn't too overwhelming?
Yeah, I don't think I was. I think I was very predominantly in my workspace. Okay. And, you know, I definitely learned a lot over the years of managing that and but, you know, there's a balance in the workplace of like when to handhold and then also when to be like, you got to get on with this.
Right.
Like, you know, you're coaching and mentoring, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, I was chatting the other day. I kept it because it's just such an amazing memory. A young girl emailed me wanting an internship.
Mm-hmm.
Took her on into an internship in one of the years between, like, one of her summers between university.
Mm-hmm.
And she was great, really great, went back to university to the point where I was like, why go back? Like, why don't you stay? You're so great. Anyway, she finished up university and she came back for another internship at the end of it. And we ended up offering her a job. And she, over the years, grew up to being, you know, an account manager.
Wow.
And she was so great. The way she just took everything on and she was so diligent and dedicated and disciplined in what she was doing. And she worked so well. It was an absolute joy to work with this girl.
Yeah.
And it was just so wonderful reading her first internship letter, you know, please, can I have an internship, you know, and where she then got to. And, you know, there are times when mentoring someone or coaching them or, you know, just being the leader of a company and really giving them as much time and support as you can, when you handhold, and then there are other times where you have to be like back when we were being coached,
right.
kind of your coach is a bit like, you got to get on with this.
Right.
You
got to
figure this out.
Right.
Like, I can't hold your hand the whole time.
Right.
So there's that sort of, you know, tough love.
Yeah.
That, you know, you really want to come from a good place, but that can be hard on juniors, especially when they're mm-hmm. just like, I feel like she's just being so tough, but it is because you want the best from them.
Right.
And also, if someone's paying you attention from a senior level,
mm-hmm.
take that as a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to be. They don't have to be spending any time with you. And right. if someone is taking their time and the effort and just giving you as much as they can, mm-hmm. drink it in.
Yeah.
Absorb it. Like, really appreciate it. And know that if they are being a little tough, it comes from a place of love. Because mm-hmm. if they didn't care, they're not going to give you that time.
Yeah. Tough love can be hard for some people.
It's really hard. It's really hard. And I used to be tough.
Right.
I used to be really tough. And so I've definitely had to soften and understand. But, you know, it's important. You mentioned something about hiring. Hiring is tough.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to do a few interviews. Don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions when hiring someone. They should ask you questions too.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether you're, you know, if you are, well, whichever side you're on, ask as many questions as possible.
Yeah.
This is an interview for both people.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think is key when hiring someone is, you know, have a trial period. Be mm-hmm. like, listen, let's give this a month and let's see how it is. And let's,
yeah.
in 30 days, sit back down and communicate
right.
and say, this is what I'm finding. I'm enjoying this. I'm not enjoying that. Because
right.
that's really important.
Yeah.
And also, if somebody doesn't work out, it's got no reflection on either one of you.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite right. It wasn't quite right, the right fit.
Right.
And it's better to let someone go. You know, if they decide to, it's not working out.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find the right person that fits.
Right.
What's worse is when people stay in a company and then an atmosphere or a toxic environment starts
yep.
to be created. That's not good.
Yeah.
So knowing when to sort of address issues like that.
Yeah.
It's tough. But yeah, hiring and firing is no joy, but it is something as an entrepreneur that you have to get used to and
mm-hmm.
know how to manage that correctly.
Yeah. You know what's interesting when you were saying that? I feel like it's such a strong parallel between like romantic relationships
mm-hmm.
that we have, but we tend to feel less, take it less personal when it's in work
mm-hmm.
than romantic relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're in a relationship and you sort of, I don't know, get turned down, or you hear the, it's not you, it's me.
Right.
I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. But it's
yeah.
totally, like, if somebody's going to stand there and say, look, it's not you, it's me, that this isn't the right person for you anyway.
Right.
Like, you, that, it's better to know that this isn't right
yeah.
and to walk away because the right person is out there. And it took me a really long time to
yeah.
understand that there's 7 billion people on this planet.
Yeah.
There's going to be someone out there. Maybe there's more than one person,
right,
you know,
right.
but there's someone out there who is going to want to be in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, you're not going to be perfect and
mm-hmm.
they're not going to, they're going to love you for who you are.
Yeah.
That took me a long time to realize.
Mm-hmm.
A long time.
And we'll definitely dive into romantic stuff for sure. But I do want to dive into first the drink.
Yes.
Right here, what we have on camera for those watching on video. We'll definitely try it. We'll sip on it while we talk about the story.
You've told me you're a Mezcal fan,
I
so
am.
I'm really pleased.
I am.
So this is Mezcal Campante, which is an artisanal mezcal, which
okay.
I really recommend people drinking because artisanal mezcal is a handmade, crafted.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get the one?
Yes.
Yeah. So
right.
I'll be interested to know what you think, but you're a mezcal lover, so.
It's
very
I like
smooth.
It is smooth.
Yeah. Really
wow.
smooth.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I always prefer mezcal over tequila,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like there's, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I do think there's a huge trend around tequila, and I prefer vodka over tequila as well.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
I also like Herdin vodka.
a lot of people, you know, tequila has really changed over the last few years, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, before you used to do tequila shots late at night, like it was horrible. It wouldn't even be like 100% Blue Weber agave. And it was like, oh, gross. And you'd have such a bad hangover the
right.
next day and be like, oh, why did I do those shots of really bad tequila? Thankfully, there is now wonderful tequila on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're incredible brands that have
yeah.
just opened up the agave spirit sector, which
right.
is really interesting. And it's just great to see what's happened in the last, I'd say even, you know, 10, 12 years has
uh-huh.
been incredible. And through my career, I was really lucky. I got to work with some fantastic spirits brands and
yeah.
tequila brands. And so that's been great. But mezcal was always one that a lot of people didn't find so easy.
Okay.
Why is that? Because it's very smoky. Okay. A lot of people didn't like the smoke. And normally it's quite a high ABV. It's quite complex in its flavor profiles. Uh-huh. So a lot of people would gravitate to tequila. Mm-hmm. And maybe once in a while have a mezcal margarita, or maybe if they're in Tulum, Oaxaca, you know, try some. But it wasn't, and mixologists have always loved tequila because because of that beautiful smokiness.
Right.
So you would always see mezcal being used in great mixology places, and mm-hmm. they'd always have a great cocktail and sometimes an interesting selection. But the consumer has definitely taken longer to adopt it. But I think now that, you know, tequila has paved the way for other agave spirits. You're going to see some really interesting things come up.
Yeah.
But mezcal is definitely having its moment.
Uh-huh.
My relationship with agave spirits started a very long time ago. I was always a tequila girl.
Okay.
Always drank tequila. Okay. It was my thing. My friends all thought I was absolutely crazy. They were all having vodka and gin and stuff like that. And I was like, nope, I'm tequila. One day you'll catch up with me. One day you'll realize that actually, you know, if it's 100% agave, then it's really good. Well, as they like to say, you shouldn't have a hangover the next day if you're drinking it, you know, with no other sugars and things. So I was always a tequila girl. But mezcal, I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the process with artisanal mezcal was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is Mexican and was born there, grew up there, loves the country. I have lots of family and friends that live in Mexico. So I used to spend quite a bit of time there.
Very cool.
And so tequila and mezcal was always quite a central thing in life and culture and society and stuff.
Yeah.
But I found mezcal hard to drink. I didn't drink mezcal. I would savor it.
Okay.
I would sip on it. I'd nurse a mezcal.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was fast.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Fascinated by the whole industry, and that's where my like passion started. Mm-hmm. And then I started going on a very deep journey into mezcal. And this is where we are today with a beautiful mezcal brand that mm-hmm. has been a joy over the last 2 years to build. So
yeah,
it's great.
What is the meaning behind the name?
Ah,
and also
Campante.
The slogan. Give like the whole spiel about it.
I will. Yeah. So Campante, it means to be happy, content, unconcerned, very happy, content with yourself, like a deep peace.
I relate to that.
Yeah, which is nice, isn't
that,
it?
Related,
it's
yeah.
really lovely. Yeah. It was also a word that sounds so beautiful, campante, mm-hmm.
campante.
So we gravitated towards that word because it also has, you know, you describe someone, mm-hmm. a human, as being campante.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's lovely when a brand feels that there's a real human touch to it.
Yeah.
And people can relate to that word. And it is about a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, you know, it's a feeling, a moment, a way of life to be mm-hmm. campante. You're mm-hmm. unconcerned, you're happy, you're content with mm-hmm. where you are. So that's where the name came from. Also, you know, it's quite easy to say campante, which is great. So that's where that came from.
Yeah. And your slogan, which is
love hard,
sip slow. Where did that come from?
That came just as we were creating the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you know, with brand development, you spend a lot of hours sitting and talking about the things that are, you know, who your customer is, what are you mm-hmm. trying to achieve, what is this brand's vision, what's its mission, what do you want people to feel or think or, you know, do when they engage in this in a brand. During that whole brand development phase, there was a lot of talk about, you know, what mezcal really is at the center of so much of mm-hmm. Mexican society and culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everywhere you go, when you go for lunch, when you go for a drink with a friend, when you go to a party, when you go to, you know, to the celebration of somebody's life, mezcal is always there.
Okay.
So
more so than tequila?
Yeah,
okay.
I would say so.
Okay, very cool.
But tequilas are very present, but mezcal really is really there.
Yeah.
And so it's at the center of so mm-hmm. much that's important in life. And what that does is it's bringing people together. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, so from that loving heart, I also think that came from, you know, myself and also the other partners.
Mm-hmm.
We love hard, and one should love hard.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, what's that wonderful phrase of like, you know, to not love at all is like,
yeah.
you know, the greatest.
I read that before. It was like, I would rather like love and basically get hurt than
yeah.
like to not love at all.
Yeah.
And I used to, because I'm very kind of type A, I used to like be very hard-headed or like stubborn with like, you know, if this is not working, like, you know, you cut it off type of thing. And it's
yeah.
like, I had a friend that kind of told me that quote, like, you have to let yourself kind of live and go through the ebbs and flows
yeah.
and allow yourself to love and be loved and kind of fall that, you know, what comes with that territory is also getting
yeah.
hurt as well. So
to love and be
yeah.
loved in return. That's
yeah.
the biggest thing.
Yeah.
But we're a fool if we think we're not going to get hurt. Like
right.
one of the most incredible things is when you love hard, you have to be fully open and vulnerable and you may get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't even loved enough, you're never going to know. And
right.
I think, look, I was the same. I was very guarded. And the moment something didn't feel right, I'd be like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
Not for me. And, you know, I remember times when friends were like, oh, but he's nice. Just mm-hmm. date him for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, if I don't see this going anywhere,
right.
I'm not going to. I'd be very guarded. With my partner now, when we first started dating, I remember waking every single morning at the very beginning
mm-hmm.
and thinking, if it ends today, I've been honest to myself, I've been totally true of this human, and I have loved as hard as I could.
Mm.
And that's okay. And I kept waking up and again, the relationship kept going and it kept getting stronger and stronger. And, you know, we're five years on. So, but I just was so honest with who I was. And
yeah.
I wanted to show him, I was very much about at the beginning, I'm going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't like that, that's his problem.
Yeah.
And that was the first time in a relationship that I really took my shutters went, you know, my walls came down, my shutters went up. I was very, very open and
yeah.
I was willing to love as hard as I could and understand that I might get hurt, but I wanted to throw myself into it. So I think going back to the love hard, like it's really important. Love your friends, love your family,
yeah.
love your partner, love this life that we have
mm-hmm.
because it could all change very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the sip slow comes from sip slow, like take in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rush. I think, you know, after the last few years of what we've all gone through of a pandemic and, you know, we're given a timeout and we had to sit there and we had to say, okay, hang on, what's important? And
mm-hmm.
I think coming out of it, we've all figured out what is important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And taking a moment to appreciate the friends and the family and the moment that you're in
yeah.
is really important. And also, you know, sip mezcal slowly, enjoy it, savor these moments.
Mm-hmm.
We talk very much about the time being now. And that's not only a reflection of the time being now for like mezcal and, you know, this category and everything, but the time being now of what we want to achieve. Like,
yeah.
think about now. Don't always constantly be thinking about, but hang on, but what about in a week's time, in a month's
right.
time, in 5 years' time? Think mm-hmm. about now and where you are and being present.
Mm. Was that ever a struggle for you I don't know. I feel like we have similar personalities or frameworks in a way as businesswomen. And, you know, when you run a company, I think you have to think in a certain style. But was that ever a struggle for you to kind of pull back from thinking in the future too much?
Yeah, of
and
course.
Any advice
I
around
mean,
that?
Of course. You know, I say this to a lot of friends and I've even had to do it. When you get into an amazing relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone – I'll start with relationships and then move into business because,
yeah.
you know, when you get into a relationship, the first thing everyone says is like, oh, you're going to get married. And you're like, oh my God. People used to say this and I'd be like, absolutely. Well, now because you've said that, no, please stop putting pressure on this relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas before, the wheels in my head would be going and I'd be like, oh, well, might this person be the one I'm going to get married? You don't even need to think yet about that. Just appreciate right now. Stop jumping ahead to like, you know, 5 years time. Just enjoy what you have right now. But it is important to think ahead.
Right.
So you have to, you know, You have to balance that quite carefully. And the same is with in business.
Right.
You need to look at what's going on right now and be present and take every day and really, but you also do need to make sure that you are thinking about what the next year and the 3 year right. and the 5 year plan for business is.
Right.
Now it can change.
Yes.
But you do have to have a little bit, you have to have a plan
yeah.
of some regard. But it doesn't have to be, and this is where my perfectionism comes out, is I'd always be like, but it has to be so detailed. No, you don't need to know all the details.
Right.
You just got to have a little bit of an idea of where you're going and
got
the direction.
Yeah.
And that can change.
Yep.
And that's okay, especially when you start working with partners and investors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, investors want to see a 5, 8, 10 year plan,
yeah.
but you are not going to know all the details.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You've just got to have thought through enough that people are like, okay, I see that plan.
Right.
And that also when you're in a relationship, especially early days, don't
yeah.
put pressure. Let
yeah.
yourself be. There is no right or wrong relationship with regard of like, I believe there is no right or wrong way of being in a relationship.
Yeah.
If you decide to get married or you don't decide to get married, that is completely
mm-hmm.
up to the two of you.
Yeah.
What is important is the communication that came in between that of being like, what's important to your partner? Maybe
right.
that partner does want to get married. Well,
yeah.
what does that mean to you? And what does that mean to them? And understanding that. But there's no, you know, there's, throw that checklist away. Like
yeah.
so many people are like, okay, we're going to, you know, get engaged then and then we're going to get married and then like, you know, and they have this checklist in their head.
Right.
If that is important to you, then fine. But you have to communicate that to the other partner so that
yeah.
they're on the same page.
Yeah.
But also life isn't about a bunch of checklists.
Right.
It's, you know, it's going to, life is going to change and it's going to throw stuff at you
mm-hmm.
and things are going to come up. And the most important thing between you and your partner, whether that be in business or in a relationship, is that you guys are on the same page
mm-hmm.
and you're understanding, weathering whatever's going on or getting through or moving the right direction, the
mm-hmm.
same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment you start pulling each other in different directions is when it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Very much so in both work and relationships
mm-hmm.
for sure.
I saw in an article that you mentioned, you know, when asked who you are most grateful for, you said your partner in life and business. And interestingly enough, when I read this too, this was at a time recently, obviously, but I realized this seems to be a consistent response or like a common denominator, if you will, amongst a lot of successful people I have read or observed, even like, you know, I was a former tennis player as well. And when I would watch some of their interviews and who they're thanking. Roger Federer, for example, he recently, when he announced his retirement, I saw in that letter he thanked his wife first. And I even made note of that on my Instagram saying, you know, it's pretty incredible how it's a very common theme that they're always thanking their partner.
Mm.
And that's why when I saw you say that, I was like, this is so interesting to me. And I feel like I've had conversations with younger people as well where there's a struggle right now, or not just right now, but I think in general, when you're very ambitious or driven towards your own vision, your own dreams, you often get it mixed up as if you can't have both,
mm-hmm.
or you can't have quality time with, you know, a certain person or have a relationship. You know, today's dating culture is like, oh, I'm not looking for anything serious. Like I'm focused on this, whatever. Right. And it's interesting to me because I feel like you actually, even from personal experience, you actually thrive more when you have a quality partner alongside with you, because you start to, it just, I don't know, like it gives you a better and different energy in your own work. And I have felt that myself, but I'm curious to hear from your experience, because we talked about it earlier, that you once thought, you know, hey, I gotta be laser focused. I can't have time for dating. And I definitely
yeah.
thought that myself before too. So I'm curious to know your thoughts.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm very, very thankful to my partner
mm-hmm.
For many things. For teaching me a huge amount
mm-hmm.
just about partnerships, about myself, about a lot. I mean, how it's taught me so much about business
mm-hmm.
And what I wanted, what I see success as being and how to navigate things
mm-hmm.
that he thinks in a very different way to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that has its challenges, but it also makes me see things in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say something and I'll be like, how can you even like see it that way or think that way? Or how did you even get to that point? And that's what's really great about a partner is making sure that you both are able to challenge each other, but then also open each other's eyes
yeah.
And do that in a way that doesn't, you know, in any way make the other partner feel inferior or
mm-hmm.
patronized or, you know, unintelligent or anything. You need to be able to have that line of communication and open dialogue where you can really push each other. He's definitely pushed my boundaries, mm-hmm. for sure. There are so many things that I wouldn't have done or wouldn't mm-hmm. even thought about, or I would have done in a completely different way. And I think that's very important from a partner.
Yeah.
But one thing that's also important is that you talked about in your question about time.
Yeah.
Before, I would work all the time.
Yeah.
I'd work on the weekends. I'd work all the time. And no, I would wake up at, you know, my first emails would go out at 5:36, which yeah. is my team used to hate. So I had to always like pull back on that. And yeah. I would like set a thing because I had no off
right.
switch.
Right.
And going into a partnership, I suddenly had a reason for having an off switch. And that was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I did struggle at the beginning because I was like, hang on a minute. I'm meant to be working in these hours. Yeah. And instead, I'm sitting here on the sofa watching Netflix with him or yeah. I'm going off for a, you know, and there is a little bit of at the beginning of like, oh, I don't want to say guilt. You feel guilty that you're maybe not at your laptop or you're not working. But what you need to readdress there and learn is that is time management. Mm-hmm. Section your time. Communicate with your partner that I need to get some hours of work done this Saturday morning,
yeah.
but I'm going to work from, you know, 10 until 12 and then let's go and have lunch together. Because yeah. not only is that good for you,
yeah.
also when you set time periods like that and you have like a default diary where you're like, this is what I'm going to do in this section and this is what I'm going to do, you work so much better.
That's true.
If you sit down yes. at your desk and you know you've got 8 hours in front of you, you yes. will do a little bit of this and then you'll do that and then you get to distracted and like yeah. so setting time slots is really important because then also you then have that dedicated time where you're like, we have lunch, we're gonna go out for 2 hours, it's just gonna be the two of us. And it will also stop you picking up your phone so much.
Yeah.
You'll be like, I've got 2 hours with him. And concentrated time where it's rich time together mm-hmm. is way more important.
Yeah.
And also talking to them about some of the issues you're having. I do though believe, and this has taken me a long time to understand, there are certain conversations that you and your partner can have about work.
Right.
And then there's other stuff that you should go and talk to somebody else about. Okay. You know, go yeah. and get advice from, it took me a long time to realize how important mentors and advisors are. It is okay to ask millions of questions. Mm-hmm. It is okay to not have the answers. Now, yeah. that was something I really took me a long time to learn. But it's okay to go to somebody and say, hey, I'd love to pick your brains on this for a mm-hmm. moment. Can I get some expertise or some advice? And pull that from there and then go back and talk to your partner about
mm-hmm.
it. Because often if you overload a relationship,
yeah.
that can be a bit of a struggle. So you got to right. figure out that balance. But, you know, having a partner that I could navigate life and work with, I think is one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given.
You mentioned that, you know, when you were younger, obviously like myself, you know, that there's this belief of kind of being laser focused and maybe not even being able to like allow yourself to make time to date. Looking back, let's say there is a girl listening right now or even a guy that thinks like, hey, I just can't allocate my energy to that because then it'll take my focus away from my career, for example. What is your take on that now?
Well, you know, you do need to. There is a period of time where you will just put your head down and work and work. And, mm-hmm. and that is important.
Yeah.
If you're building something, you have to put in the hours.
Yeah.
But the only thing I will say is don't let those years go past you. They
mm-hmm.
meeting people is one of the most enriching things that us as humans can do,
mm-hmm.
is engaging and connecting and meeting other people. And you never know what's going to come from meeting someone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's going to be romantic or not, they could become the greatest friend you've ever had.
Yeah.
They could also connect you to something that like opens up your career in a different way. They could yeah. be your next job. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you never know where someone's going to go. I remember a friend used to say, she was like, I go on every single date that I'm ever invited on. And I was like, gosh, that's exhausting. Like, you know, how do you even have time? She was like, no, because you never know who that person's going to be. You're
right.
going to have an experience. And hey, you may fall in love with the waiter or his brother. You never yeah. know. Like the opportunity like there. Yeah. So it's the same with, you know, any meeting or interview you're ever, well, any interview you're ever offered, go to it.
Mm-hmm.
For the experience, for, you know, what might come. And also if you make an impact on someone, whatever that might be,
mm-hmm.
There's nothing more beautiful than leaving an imprint on someone's life.
Yeah.
Whether that be a hour dinner that you have and then you never see that person again, mm-hmm. but, or, you know, you end up being the closest of friends and that's where it started, or yeah. the best of lovers and that's where it started. That's a human connection and that's important.
Yeah.
But it's hard when you're so focused, and I know what that feeling is yeah. and I know what that time period feels like. And you're just like, well, I have no time for anything else. It is important to just step away a little and go on those. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember weddings I didn't go to and I like of friends because I was working. And some I don't even remember and I don't even think twice. But there are a few that I'm like, I didn't make it to their wedding. And that's not okay.
Right.
Or I didn't go on that holiday with really good friends because I had to work. Or I didn't make it to that birthday dinner.
Mm.
Some things you can miss and you won't even right. think about. And right. that's fine. But there are going to be things that you miss. And you are going to, I don't want to say regret.
Right.
But you're going to have missed out. And you're going to remember that.
Yeah.
And so that's, you got to balance that.
Yeah. If you had one piece of advice for young women right now listening when it comes to balancing, whether it's dating or a real relationship with other areas of their life, like a career, what would that be?
Advice around balance. I think my best piece of advice would be, and I said it before, and I know it sounds so simple, but it's communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating with your partner or with your boss or your colleagues or your business partner is so important
mm-hmm.
because often
mm-hmm.
silence seems like it's something completely different or, yeah. you know, not saying something or actions or can be totally misread.
Yeah.
And they can be misunderstood, perceived as something completely different than what you actually meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think communicating with people really helps with the balance. So just going back to something I said before, you're in a relationship, but you've got a lot of work on right now
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to build something or you just, you know, it's just that time when you've just got so much on your plate. Communicating with your partner and being like, I need 3 hours today to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is that good for you, it's good for them.
Yeah.
It balances it and makes you be able to sit there and go, okay, I've got 3 hours to get this done. You're going to put your head down. You're going to do it. And there's a bit, and then there's the reward at the end. Mm-hmm. I get some time with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
I get some time to me or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
So that balance is really important. So I'd say communication is one of the most, you know, because then if you're like always on your laptop, your partner's like, oh, you're always on your laptop. You're always working.
Right.
Instead of just being like, I have to get this work done. They then respect that.
Yeah.
They give you the space. You can then focus. And then at the end of it, you can have a glass of wine and or a glass of mezcal, sorry, mezcal cocktail and sit back and have time together.
Yeah.
So I'd say getting that balance, it comes down to communication. It's, mm-hmm. So your boss, you need Friday off. Communicate
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
We now live in a world where, you know, now people are doing 4-day work weeks, yeah. which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But communicating with your boss and saying, I need this day off, or I'm not going to be in till 10, or I'm going to have to leave early that day because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
They don't mind that as long as you've communicated, because
yeah.
at the end of the day, you know, balance is so important
mm-hmm.
and a healthy team member or employee or, you know, business partner, whatever it might be, is better
yes.
than an overworked, overstressed.
That's true.
So that's what I would say is communication. And yeah, I think communicating, if I'd known that a lot younger, I think certain things that I've had to go through or ups and downs would have maybe been easier.
Mm-hmm.
So communication, as
yeah.
hard as that is as well,
right.
there are times where you do not want to say anything.
Right.
You have to sit down and you have to talk about something that's not easy.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
But you got to put it out there.
I've heard that often too. Communication
is
very key.
It solves a lot of problems.
Yeah.
It really does, because silence oft, you don't know what someone's thinking right. when they're silent right. or they haven't responded yeah. or they didn't come in and they didn't tell you that they were going to be late coming in.
Right.
You just don't know.
Right.
Whereas if they tell you, even if it's just like, I'm just going to be late, you don't have to give a reason.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be in
yeah.
at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Also, it's funny. As a woman, a guy wouldn't say, oh, I'm going to be late today. They'd just be like, I'm getting in at this time. It's often a different approach. Right. We as women will apologize a lot.
That's true. That is true.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to leave early today. I have to leave early today.
Yeah.
I'll get everything done. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a different approach. And I think that also we apologize so much that we internalize that. We're mm-hmm. constantly saying sorry. We don't need to.
Yeah.
Just be clear and direct. I mean, you're an A-type, so am I. So, like, just be clear, direct, and say what you mean.
Yeah.
And then no one knows anything different.
Yeah, so exactly.
That would be my advice, is communication.
Just a few questions for the end of this. Okay, do you want to pick one from
yours? Oh, yes, because we have ours as well.
Yeah, so we'll okay. do, like, one or maybe
okay,
two
I'll
of
go
each.
First on your side.
Okay.
Would you rather be crazy rich or deeply in love, and why? That is tough.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, can I be like deeply in love and crazy rich from all my hard work? You know, that's a really hard one. It's very difficult because as you get older, you start to think a lot more about the, you know, the life that you're building mm-hmm. and what's important. And, you know, having a home and having mm-hmm. a car and all of these kind of things are really important. But none of that means anything without love.
I could not agree more.
So it is tough because, yeah. and I think this is something going back to relationships and like what you're looking for, communicating and understanding what the life is that you two want to build mm-hmm. is really important. And understanding what makes you happy as a couple. If one of you is happy living in a $10 million house and the other one that doesn't matter to, mm-hmm. that you need to figure out.
Right.
Because you're going to be striving for something that person, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Unless they're like, well, if that makes you happy, then I will come in on this, you know, path and this dream of yours. Then that, right. then you're communicating.
Yes.
But if that means something to you and it doesn't mean anything to the other, that you've got to try and figure out. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the five languages of love?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm a firm believer that this is really important. Yes. And already that brings down some barriers of like understanding communication.
Yes.
What you speak with, what they speak with, what you give with can mm-hmm. be very different. And understanding that's key. But, you know, you can have everything in the world, but if you don't have love,
mm-hmm.
then what's the point?
I could not, so you know, ironically, that's exactly why I named this What Fulfills You, because I had that epiphany at a young age because of a breakup, but I realized at a young age that quality relationships is the foundation of what makes life fulfilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those quality relationships can be so many different things, and they should be. Mm-hmm. I think as I get older and as I see my parents getting older, I just want to spend so much more time with them mm-hmm. and just have those moments of quality time together. Okay. Yeah. What are you going to pick from okay. our cards?
What would you sing at karaoke night?
What would you sing at karaoke night?
Okay, I'd probably sing Love Story by Taylor Swift.
Nice.
Yeah, she's actually, fun fact, from my hometown.
Is she?
She is.
Okay, that's a great karaoke
yeah,
song.
Yeah, it's a classic. So I just...
That is a classic. That's a good one.
Okay, last question.
Yes.
Something I ask every guest on this show, but we talked about a lot of different topics today. But what would you say ultimately fulfills you in life?
Oh, I know you asked this question. So I had like thought about it so much. But now you asking it, you know, you suddenly have that moment. And I think this kind of goes back to something I said at the beginning when we were talking about like advice that I could give to mm-hmm. anyone transitioning from university into the workforce, of like going out there, doing as many interviews as possible, being asked as many questions as possible. Because sometimes you think you know the answer to a question mm-hmm. and then you're in that moment and it gets asked. And your whole gut instinct is to say something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that you must listen to your gut. Like, if you don't feel right about something, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to your question, what fulfills me? I am fulfilled very much by – this is going to sound – I think this is going to sound really strange because it wasn't what I was going to say originally. But I'm fulfilled by knowing that I am building something.
Mm-hmm.
And that building of something – is not only building a brand. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of love and passion and hard work goes into building a brand.
Yeah.
Building a mezcal brand has been, you know, is very fulfilling. It is also unbelievably difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's not simple. And building anything is not simple. But it's fulfilling in is that although there are times where I'm at an utter high, and this is just being an entrepreneur, this happens. One moment you're on top of the world, mm-hmm. and literally within 5 seconds, something can happen, and you're like at the deepest, lowest moment of just being like, oh my gosh, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
But you still wake up every day, and although you may be anxious and nervous about cash flows and tax returns and all of this kind of stuff, you're still fulfilled. There's something that's and I think it's the building, but it's not only the building of a business or a brand or a company.
Mm-hmm.
It's the building of what you're building with your partner, or your relationships. Mm-hmm. What are you building?
Yeah.
And also, what are you building inside yourself? Because you yourself are a project that will never be finished.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to constantly be evolving. And however you want to evolve, like, you know, I have a lot of friends who have one fantastic therapist that they talk to, and they're constantly self-improving and building. However you do it, whether it's with somebody else who's helping guiding you or just in yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you know that you're building and trying to advance, that fulfills me. And is knowing that I am building something, whether that be in business, in my relationship, or within myself, that fulfills me.
Ooh, I love that. I love that.
Wow. I was not going to say that. That's so interesting.
Oh, amazing. That's a great place to end this show. Well, thank you again for joining me. Where can everyone find Mezcal Campante and share where they can find you, the social media, all of that good stuff?
Yeah. So, well, you can buy it online. We have a great e-commerce, a really great online store, which is great because a lot of, you know, before, a lot of alcohol brands didn't sell online. It wasn't mm-hmm. something they did. And now, especially, you know, from the pandemic and post-pandemic, people are much more willing to buy online and especially a brand. Well, the one thing I can say is that we see this again and again. People really, they gravitate towards it, you know, beautiful branding, but they don't know what the liquid tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can say that Campante is a really great mezcal that's very, very easy to drink. So
mm-hmm.
get it home, enjoy it, drink mm-hmm. with your friends. You'll really enjoy it. But yes, our e-commerce store shop, mezcalcampante.com, is
perfect
place. It arrives within about 2 to 3 days, depending on where you are. Very easy, comes in a beautiful package as well. We try to make sure that the whole experience is really well thought through. And then you can follow us on our website and our social media as well. So Mezcal Campante.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Emily. This was really great.
And that was all for today's episode with Shirley Laywood Oakes, the CEO of Mezcal Campante. I hope you guys enjoyed this re-released episode. If you did, be sure to let me know in the Instagram DMs. You can reach me at Emily E. Duong or at What Fulfills You. You can find Instagram links and all the links you could think of in the show notes, including the What Fulfills You card game. You can find that online at whatfulfillsyou.com. And if you want to see the video version of this episode, you can actually also find that on the YouTube channel. Just search What Fulfills You. It's also linked in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.